blood of Jesus, come to Jesus. That's where he wants us. Okay. We're going to probably complete this study on law or grace. You know, I was thinking about this afternoon, and I thought, I wonder if anyone else is teaching in this area. And I went on and I pulled up something from the 1800s. Charles Spurgeon. Teaching right along the same thing. It just took me longer to get the revelation, I guess, than it did him. But thank God that he's shown us some things. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4 tells us that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. We need to wake up and catch that revelation that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, what I want to share with you this evening is where the transition that was made from law to grace, from the old covenant to the new covenant. Jesus' entire earthly ministry was under the old covenant. So Jesus was ministering under the law. So that means that the law was still governing the whole time. That's why there were some accusations made against him of his disciples violating the law, although they did not. It was people's interpretation of the law. Man-made laws, I might add, not just the law that God gave. Until Jesus came into the earth, people had never experienced grace. They'd experienced mercy. And I don't know if you remember, but the contrast between grace and mercy is mercy doesn't give you what you deserve, and grace gives you what you do not deserve. Under the old covenant, there were times when repentance would cause a stay of execution, if you will, to where God would extend mercy. But grace comes through Jesus Christ. While Jesus is operating under an old covenant, he's actually demonstrating grace. He's revealing the new covenant under an old covenant as far as the operation. And because he was doing that, he was offering grace to people rather than condemning people. It infuriated the representatives of the law, which was the religious order. They wanted people condemned by the law. The law says, what did you say? And the interesting thing was that he never refuted the law. What he gave superseded the law. It was better. The law judged and condemned. Jesus forgave and restored. And representatives of the law have a hard time with that. And it's still the same today with people who want to impose law. See, religion still wants to impose law on people so it can control people. God wants people to be governed from the inside rather than the outside. God wants us to be led by the Spirit of God, not by legalism. You understand? So, Jesus, while he's operating in earth, he instructed people to obey the law while they were under the law, but he also told them of God's plans for the future that would free them from the law and its condemnation. For instance, when he healed the lepers, he would say, go show yourself to the priest. That's what the law required. So he wasn't violating the law. He was still telling them to live according to the law, but showing them a better way. He's presenting the kingdom of God to them, to be governed from the inside rather than the outside. That's the way the kingdom of God operates. When Jesus told the Jews in his hometown that Isaiah 61, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2 was fulfilled, they were infuriated. They were ready to kill him and attempted to kill him. As a matter of fact, he just said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captive. See, they're trying to still keep people captive, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. When he said that, they got mad. Isn't it interesting how religion would rather see you bound than set free? They take more pleasure in your bondage than in your freedom, because your freedom comes as a result of Jesus. It comes as a result of grace, and grace supersedes the law. Grace forgives and restores, and the law condemns and holds one into captivity as long as they live. So, Jesus didn't violate the law, but he had a better plan than the law, didn't he? Well, the church today should do something better. We should follow the pattern of Jesus rather than the pattern of Moses that was actually pointing to Jesus. According to Jesus, the ministry of the Old Covenant, Law, and Prophets ended with John the Baptist. You can find it in Matthew 11:13, also Luke 16:16. Jesus said the law and the prophets were until John. He also said, I did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Now, once it's fulfilled, it's no longer needed. You with me? Now, let me say this. I need to put this in because people misunderstand. What about the sinners? I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking to the church. I'm not talking to the world. I'm talking to the church. That the law governs sinners. Absolutely. The law was given for the unrighteous and the disobedient. The law is not for the believer. That's where we're coming from when we make this statement. The law for the believer, the law for righteousness, has been fulfilled. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And no one ever obtained righteousness by the law anyway, did they? That wasn't its purpose. Its purpose was to reveal the sinfulness of humanity. The new covenant, which was sealed with the blood of Jesus, has demonstrated the fulfillment of the law. In other words, the old covenant has been fulfilled by the new covenant. Consummated, the crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, and Jesus carried his blood into heaven to purify the vessels in heaven. So, these things have been done, but Jesus has set an example for us to follow. So let's not follow the ministry of the law. Let's follow the ministry of the new covenant, the covenant of grace. Jesus' blood has ratified or set in motion the new covenant. Consequently, the old covenant has been superseded. And something that's superseded is no longer needed. The Old Testament was ratified with animal blood. The New Covenant, the New Testament, is ratified with Jesus' blood. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has liberated us from the law of the Old Covenant. And here again, I am talking to the believers. The believers. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, have been liberated from the bondage of the law. I could say grace has triumphed over the law. Grace has triumphed over law. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 and 57 tell us that the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But through Jesus Christ, God has given us the victory over both death and the law that required death. And for all those who glory in the law, just remember that the law is what's giving sin its strength. So as long as you're under the law, you're giving strength to sin and you're held into captivity. The Old Testament law has been replaced with God's nature. I want you to think about that. The desire to do right renders the commands to do right unnecessary. If you have the desire to do right, you don't need someone to tell you to do right. And that's what the law did. The law was saying, do right, but it couldn't make one be right. Grace gives one the ability to be right. That's better. You understand? You do understand. Okay. Good. So, as a result of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, the old covenant was fulfilled and a new covenant has been inaugurated. You and I are under the new covenant. The reason that we still read the Old Covenant is to learn from the examples. You understand? We read to understand God's principles, the examples that are recorded or documented in the Word of God, so that we do not repeat the things that cause people to get destroyed. History repeating itself. And it's amazing how humanity is still not learning and not obeying and not listening. The church is not listening. The world's not listening. And history continues repeating itself because we don't listen. Well, I want us to listen. I want us to understand that we have something better. We're under a new covenant. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, we, the born-again believers, the body of Christ, we are the temple of God, and God dwells in us. Now, we don't need a tabernacle of Moses. We don't need a Solomon temple, a Herod temple. You understand? Those things are not needed. We don't need those altars to where you bring animal sacrifices. We're not bringing animal sacrifices. We give ourselves over to the Lord. He became the ultimate sacrifice. So once the sacrifice for sin has been offered and this penalty has been paid and no more sacrifice is necessary, you no longer need the altars. You no longer need that type temple, that type worship. What God has today is a new temple. It's a mobile temple. It's people ministering to people. God in people ministering to people. You see that? His life is in us. His presence is in us. It's not in an ark of a covenant that some man built, but His presence lives in us. We are the carriers of the presence of God, and the covenant of God, and the authority of God. Everything that Ark of the Covenant represented, we are the carriers of that as the body of Christ. New Covenant believers are to be led by the Spirit. If God is dwelling in us, then just as that Old Testament tabernacle the cloud over it dictated when it moved and when it was to set up camp and all this. The Spirit of God in us dictates when we're to move, when we're to settle down, what we're to do. You understand? So this is better. We're to be led by the Spirit. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. They're not led by law. Galatians 5:16 says that if we're led by the Spirit, those who are led by the Spirit, you don't need law. As a matter of fact, for those who want to put grace in competition to law, let me remind you that grace lives by a higher standard. The law says don't do it. Grace says don't think it. So grace is not a license to sin. It is a, it's a superior lifestyle. You understand? Superior in actions and certainly superior in benefits. Okay? So, those who are led by the Spirit of God live by faith. Faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we do not have to work to obtain. It's a gift. It's given to us. Righteousness is a gift. It's given to us. We don't have to work to obtain it. All we have to do is rest in the work that Jesus has done. That's what Hebrews, the fourth chapter, is talking about. Labor to enter in to the rest. We're rested in a finished work. Now, obviously, righteousness does things, but not to receive righteousness. Because we're righteous, we do things. We please God. We fulfill the will of God. We're not trying to get the favor of God by what we do. Faith demonstrates what it believes. As a matter of fact, James talked about that, dealing with Abraham and also dealing with Rahab the harlot. Now, we know that they were saved as a result, like Rahab was saved as a result of her faith. Abraham received his son and the promises of God as a result of faith, but we also know that they both demonstrated what they believed by what they did. Rahab proved that she believed that God was with Israel and that God was giving them the land so much that she hid the spies. She laid her life on the line because of what she believed. Just a demonstration of what she believed. So it was her faith that was rewarded. Abraham got up and left his country, left his kindred. Abraham took his son to offer him as a sacrifice. What's he doing? He's demonstrating what he believes, and he received righteousness because of what he believed, not because of what he did, but we know he believed because of what he did. Did you get all that? In other words, our works is demonstrating our faith. So it's works of faith, not works for righteousness. You see the difference? The just live by faith in God's grace, not faith in the law. You understand? Our faith's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. One who begins in faith is not to revert back to works. That's what actually the book of Galatians is about. In chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul tells you that reverting back to works after you begin in faith is called falling from grace. Have you ever heard that phrase? Falling from grace is to where you start out believing and then you want to add to it. And that's what people are trying to do today. That's what religious groups do today. They tell people believe in Jesus, but then add to it. Paul had that problem. He's preaching to the Gentiles. The Gentiles believe in Jesus. They're born again. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And religion says now they have to add some works to that. They have to be circumcised. took it before the council. Isn't that amazing? The fact that God just poured the Spirit out upon them while Peter's preaching ought to tell you something. See, we can learn a lot of things by watching what God does. You watch what God does in people's life, it may change your doctrine. I'm sure it will if you pay attention. Okay? Law or grace? They don't mix. So don't try to mix them. Now let me summarize this. The law was given to reveal to people how sinful people really are. That was the whole purpose of the law. Sin was in the world, but God brought the law in to reveal to humanity how sinful they was. The law was never brought into the world to eradicate sin. It was to reveal sin. That was what it's designed for. The law was never brought into the world to make people righteous. It was to show people how unrighteous they really were. The Mosaic Law was just a forerunner of grace. It was never designed to take the place of grace, and it's certainly not to be a companion of grace. Either or, they don't mix, so don't try to mix them. The law wasn't designed for the righteous. You mentioned that just a while ago. It's for the lawless and for the disobedient. Right? Well, we're not lawless. We're not without law. We have Jesus living on the inside of us. We're righteous. So that's not for us. Our salvation came as a result of grace, not law. Law never saved anyone. The most righteous people under the old covenant were held in the heart of the earth until Jesus fulfilled the redemption, or the whole thing, went into hell, came out, and when he came out, they saw bodies of saints who had been dead walking the streets of Jerusalem. I believe that's why he's carrying his blood into heaven and consummating the redemption. And then when he went back, he spent 40 days on earth, and when he went back, he led captivity captive. He captured the captives from Satan. Satan had them captive, and he captured what Satan was up. It's related. You can read this in Ephesians 4:8. Okay. Now, grace doesn't need anything added to it. Absolutely nothing added to grace. God's grace is sufficient for our complete salvation, spirit, soul, and body. So quit trying to add to a finished work. That's like trying to pump gas in your car when it's full and running over. What's it going to do? It's doing nothing. It's a hazard. Trying to add law to grace is a hazard to your life. Get you in trouble. The old covenant, we know, was a covenant of law. The old covenant put all its emphasis on works. It required works. The new covenant's a covenant of grace. It puts its emphasis on believing. It requires faith. The law demanded people to do right. Grace gives the people the desire and ability to do right. Okay? The law judged and condemned. Grace, Jesus, forgives and restores. Aren't you glad? Not only are you forgiven, but you're restored into right relationship with God. We have a ministry of reconciliation, telling people that God has reconciled humanity to Himself. Isn't that a pretty good deal? God Himself has reconciled humanity to Himself. There's peace between God and man. God's not mad at you. If you trip and fall, God's not mad at you. And don't listen to anyone that's telling you God's mad at you or God doesn't like you. That's not true. God loved you so much that He gave Jesus while you were still a sinner. Now, God hates sin, but He loves people. And He wants to deliver them from the sin that's destroying them. See, the reason God hates sin is because of the destruction of sin. It's what sin does to people. God doesn't hate the people. The Old Testament law has been replaced with God's nature. Grace has triumphed over law. Walk in the victory. Serving a law that's already been fulfilled is both foolish and futile. What good does it do you? It'll take you back into bondage is what it'll do. We, the believers who've been redeemed from the curse of the law, should not desire to go back and live under the law and its curse. You understand, if you live under the law, you subject yourself to the law. And the curse of the law is against any violation. If you violate one point, you violated the entire law. Now, wouldn't it be foolish to go under that law with that curse when you've been redeemed from it? The redemptive work of Jesus was all inclusive. It doesn't need anything added to it. One who lives under the law after believing in the redemptive work of Jesus falls from grace. Goes back to trying to work to get God's favor that he had already. Foolish, isn't it? Works has not, works will not, works cannot save anybody. That in itself should tell you your emphasis shouldn't be on works. Your emphasis should be on what Jesus has done. The work of Jesus. Don't let anyone influence you to believe a lie. According to 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is something that's just really been on me lately. And the first five verses, the Holy Spirit distinctly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, and give heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils. We're not talking about sacrificing the devil. We're talking about religious things that are going to deceive people in moving from grace and take them back under a works mentality that's actually going to be to their own detriment. He says, acting deceitfully, they will speak lies because they have an insensitive conscience. They will prevent people from marrying and commanding them to abstain from food that God has created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. We're already seeing that. People are making ministries out of it. You understand? Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Don't touch this. Don't touch that. All that's flesh. That's law. All that has been fulfilled. We're living by faith, not by works. He goes on to say that everything created by God is good. What do you think everything means? All of it. Everything that God's created is good. It says nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. Because it is purified by the Word of God and prayer. That's what sanctified in that verse, if you look it up. It means purify. We talk about clean and unclean. It's made clean by the Word of God and prayer. So don't let people bring the dietary laws back in and impose those things on you. It's a doctrine of the devil. It's a seducing spirit, deceiving people. Don't fall for it. I know we're living in the latter days because Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that Joel prophesied about that in the latter days. So we're in the latter days. I see this already taking place. I see it taking place in people's lives that I know. People that grew up in church. People that have ministered. And they're departing from the faith. It didn't say they stopped going to religious gatherings. They depart from the faith. They give heed to these deceiving spirits, doctrines of devils that are rising up. And then they end up deceiving other people. There are so many false doctrines being taught by people today because they've been deceived into believing a lie. And then they turn around and deceive other people into believing the same lie that they fell for. Somebody has to stand up for the truth. You understand? And you can't stand up for it if you don't know it. That's why I say you're not living under the law of the Old Testament. Those dietary laws do not apply to grace. You with me? Pray over your food. Set it apart by God's word and prayer. That's what purifies your food. That's what makes it clean. I know that won't make me popular in a lot of circles, but I'm not in a popularity contest. I want you to know the truth. I want you to be liberated. I want you to be free. I'm not telling you to sin. I'm telling you to live righteously before God. But the righteousness before God is living by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what it's done, not by following some set of rules and laws that men make up. Put in their handbooks and all this other stuff. We're to live by the Word of God continually. We're to know the truth. And if you know the truth, you won't be deceived. You know, years ago I was reading in Matthew, I believe it's around 24th chapter, where Jesus is talking about the end times are coming, some hard times, he was telling them, and he said that the deception was going to get so intense that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Even the elect would be deceived. I said, well, why can't the elect be deceived? He said, you can't deceive the Spirit of truth. You can violate him. You cannot listen to him. But the Holy Spirit inside you will bear witness to truth. If you ignore, then you get yourself in trouble. The Holy Spirit's not going to tell you, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. That's not the way it operates. He will bear witness to truth. If you're not getting witness that is true, don't advance. Don't listen to it. I've been around a lot of things and heard a lot of things that sounded good and looked right, but inside me I'm not bearing witness and I'm thinking something's not right. It looks good, it sounds good, but something's not right. That's the Spirit of God in you, checking you by letting you know He's not bearing witness. You with me? So don't think God's going to speak to you about every little detail. Don't follow this. Don't follow that. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to that. That's not the way it works. Does He bear witness to it? And I can tell you when I get in the presence of truth on the inside of me, I know it. I know it's true. I know it's God. It doesn't matter what it looks like outside. You know that it's God. And obviously it's not going to violate the Word of God in any way. Anyway, is it? No. God's grace is given to us freely. That in itself says you can't work for it, or it wouldn't be fruit. If you could get it by works, you'd earn it. So don't frustrate the grace of God by trying to mix law with faith. As a matter of fact, in Galatians 2:21, Paul said it this way, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness can be obtained by law, then Christ died for no reason. If you can get it by the law, then God wasted His time sending Jesus into the earth, and Jesus did a foolish thing by going to the cross. The truth is, you can't. Now that word frustrate means to disesteem or set aside. I do not disesteem grace. I do not set the grace aside. Not the grace of God. I do not disesteem the grace of God. So if I go back under law, I'm disesteeming God's grace. I'm not holding that grace in high esteem. You understand? Except I don't do it. Law and grace cannot cohabit. I said cannot. That's impossibility. It's one or the other. You can't mix the two. You choose one or the other. And I highly recommend grace. You understand? The law carries a death sentence. And I don't know why people don't understand this. If you operate under the law, you have a death sentence on you. Grace carries an eternal life sentence. Believe me, I'd rather have eternal life than to have a death sentence hanging over my head. Choose life. Choose grace. God's put it before us. And don't listen to all this stuff that's going on, that's trying to get you to add things to faith. Grace. Don't listen to it. I'll promise you that what Jesus did was enough. More than enough for anything you'll ever face. Our sins are remitted. They're gone. They're not even remembered. They're removed. So what are we trying to do? Any works that you and I do now will be the work of the kingdom. Because we're in it, we're governed from the inside, so now we're carrying out the work of God. And that would be telling other people about Jesus Christ, telling them the good news, telling them that, hey, it's already done, believe it. You're wearing yourself out for nothing. You're getting frustrated over nothing. You're disgusted, you're discouraged because you can't live up to the requirements of the law. Nobody can. Jesus is the only one that was able to fulfill the law. So if you count down on it, then you're just depressing yourself. Thank God our salvation, our righteousness, our favor with God is not based on performance. You understand? It's based on what Jesus did. Now what will I do with what Jesus did? See, that's the thing. The work is done. Where sin did abound, grace has much more abounded. The law was brought on the scene showing you how gross sin was, and Jesus was brought on the scene to show you what grace could do with that. Remove it. You think about it. I mean, it's absolutely incredible the change that God can bring about in an individual's life simply through their believing in Jesus. The law tried to do it. You had rules and regulations on it. And if you were like me, if you were a rascal, those rules and regulations did not stop you from sinning. But isn't it interesting that you can believe in the finished work of a person and stop sinning? I don't think people think about that. There is a new creation in Christ Jesus, you understand. We're born again. It's a nature change. So the old man is dead, is the way Paul says it. Now that the old man's dead, you render the works of the old man to death. Mortify the deeds of the body. Renew your mind so you don't continue doing what the old man programmed you to do. But operate under grace. I don't know about you, but this absolutely amazes me at how just my belief changed my life. Just my belief. No arm behind my back, twisting me, making me say uncle and all this type of stuff. It was simply believing in what Jesus Christ had done for me. And, oh, what a change in my life, in my heart. So now, we're governed from the inside. That's grace. With a higher standard. The law said I couldn't kill. Grace says I can't hate. Anything the law said you couldn't do, grace is telling you you can't think about doing it. You name it. Anything you can think of, grace has said, don't go there. Stay away from that. You capture the thoughts. You cast down the imaginations. You make everything that comes to your mind obey the Word of God. You bring that, you capture it, make it align to the Word of God. And when that thinking's not aligning with the Word of God, you'd better work on that thinking quick and get rid of those thoughts. You can refuse to think on things. Now, when you first start doing that, it's going to be persistent. Trying to come back. You get rid of it for a second or two and it's right back. No, I'm not going there. I'm not thinking about it. Shut up and leave. And if you'll take authority over it and you get aggressive with it, you'll control your thought life. I used to have a problem with my temper. And the Lord told me, and it was because of my thinking. And he said, if you won't think about it, you won't get mad about it. Now, it's not just peculiar to me. That's you too. If you won't think about it, it won't make you mad. Nobody can make you mad. Your thinking does that. Nobody makes you do it. The devil can't make you do anything. Your thinking causes you to do that. Sin begins with a thought. And when you start thinking about that thought, a conception takes place. And if you don't abort that, you're going to give birth to the sin of that thought, whatever it is. Law can't eradicate that. Grace can, because there's been a nature change. Now we have a responsibility to renew our minds to agree with our nature. not to agree with law, but to agree with grace. Amen? Okay, I hope you got something out of that, and I trust that this has been a safeguard that will deliver some and keep some from falling into a trap that's been set by Satan through religion. So listen to the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, that's about as clear as you get. Grace, not works. Amen? Amen.